He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and with his stripes we are healed. As fear and doubt come against your life, and has your faith been sorely tried? Just lift up your eyes, for here comes your help. It is Jesus, and for you he has died. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. And when by faith you just reach out and touch him, you know that Jesus will hear your every plea, and that he will respond to that cry that's deep in your heart. He will cleanse you and he will make you whole. So arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. Come on and rise up and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith, oh, let his faith arise in your soul.
He'll do it. He'll make you whole. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. I got a sermon today that's on my heart. Preached it last Sunday. Forgiveness. The Bible is full of forgiveness. The Bible is a book of forgiveness. God is a God of forgiveness. Forgiveness lives in the pages of the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, friend. I mean, it is marvelous to consider the healing power of the Son of God. Oh, it really is. Let's pray. Father, I love my family. All over this globe, those listening to these sermons, Many preachers are re-preaching them in Pakistan and in Jordan, in many different countries. God, I thank you for that. Pakistan and Africa and Switzerland and, oh God, in these places of the earth, God, thank you. May it grow. May it grow. May it get bigger. Bless many. Save many. Show forth thy power. Show forth thy majesty. Oh, I'm claiming it, God. I don't doubt it. I do not doubt it. And you could be healed right now while you listen to this radio, internet sermon. You could be marvelously, divinely healed. Claim it right now, Father. I claim it. I stretch my hands across to my audience, laying my hands on this computer that through the internet might flow the virtues of healing from the beginning to the end, God. Let spirit, grace, and healing, miracles, save the lost, and sanctify believers, and fill with the Holy Ghost, and heal the sick. Cast out devils. I bind that demon spirit that possesses that life right now. Take your hand off, devil. Take your hand off, devil. We claim this body, this physical life, this spiritual life, this person for Jesus Christ. In his powerful name we pray. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to listen to a sermon on forgiveness. One that God really poured in my heart. I first preached it to our children, young people in chapel, at our school. Then I preached it on Sunday morning last Sunday. And I now send it out by internet to touch a multitude of lives. I'm claiming it'll do it. I really am. I doubt it not. I rest in it. And listen to the Open Bible Dialogue broadcast tomorrow now. Right here on the internet, live all over the world, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday afternoon. And remember, we gain an hour Sunday night. If you're late for church, don't tell yourself you're going to gain an hour, and you'll be early for a change. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? On time or early. May God grant you that grace. May his love overshadow you. Well, you know, I love to preach the Word of God to you. There's nothing I like better. And I want God to move on your heart today and there to be a real miracle in your life during this sermon. I really do. So, will you get your heart ready? Will you really get your heart ready to listen? Let God be real to you. Let God show himself to you. He is able and he is more than willing. Believe me, he is more than willing. He wants to show himself to you by his grace and by his miracle. He wants to show himself to you and make known his grace and his power and his holiness. And he will do it if you'll give him a chance. And I believe you will. I believe you will. While I'm preaching forgiveness, let it flow like a river and let your life be moved and touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. We're going to the sanctuary
of the book of Revelation. The last book, the last chapter, and near the last verse, verse 17. I'm going to preach something that the Holy Ghost poured in my soul this morning. It blessed me. It blessed me as he gave this to me. I'm preaching on forgiveness. The Bible is full of forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Bible is full of forgiveness. I don't think of a word in the Bible that's bigger, that's more wonderful than the word forgiveness. Or you say, Brother Chambers, the word love would be bigger than forgiveness. Well, the word love is a powerful word. But forgiveness is love in action. It's love in action. And always action is what makes the Bible so real. Love is his principle. Love is his character. Love is his nature. But forgiveness is the result of all that God is. And I want to preach on forgiveness. Let's read one verse, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's us, the church, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. An invitation at the conclusion of the Holy Bible, coming from the Holy Ghost, and inviting the church to join him, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What a verse. What a verse. The Bible is full of forgiveness. The Bible is a book that over and over restates the invitation of the Lord. God never turns His back on men and women until they have utterly turned their back on Him. You've got to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You've got to say, away with you, God. You've got to turn your back on Him. You've got to absolutely turn away from Him. God will never first turn away from you. God in forgiveness invites you this morning. God in forgiveness invites you. Father, I need your help to preach today. Father, so many out there have turned from God. My phone has rung even this morning with a man begging for prayer. Our phone rung during the week with a man who was begging for prayer. Yesterday it was prayer. Day before yesterday it was the need of prayer. A generation of people, God, and mostly they are lost. And there's little understanding of the right way to go. Our churches are full of all kinds of doctrines, but very little of the true things of God. Open our hearts this morning and let the truth of forgiveness arrest us. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. You may be seated. I can think of no word that is more powerful this morning than the word forgiveness. The word forgiveness. I can think of nothing you can do and you can love and learn to do more than the word forgiveness. If you can't forgive your friend or your enemy, whichever, God the Father cannot forgive you. It doesn't matter what they've done, what they've said, how far from God they've gone, how deep into to sin and the bad spirits of the world a person may go. They must have us to understand. We must forgive them, and we must show it. I don't care who you're dealing with. I don't care how bad they've been to you. I don't care how much you feel resentment inside. I don't care what it is you're feeling. Forgiveness is a way of life that you can never forsake and walk with God. You've got to be forgiven. And God first is the God of forgiveness. I get to thinking about God's mercy to forgive, and it thrills my heart. If you're a sinner, He will forgive you. Do you understand that? If you're a sinner and you're lost, He will forgive you. It doesn't matter how far from God you've gone, unless you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, He will forgive you. It's His desire, it's His interest, it's His burden to forgive you. If you sin after you've been saved, if you right now are dealing with something in your life that shouldn't be there, right now you're dealing with some way, something you've done, some feeling you've had, some departure that you've experienced from God, I want you to know that God wants to forgive you. God wants to forgive you. It's God's desire to forgive you. You see, forgiveness starts in the book of Genesis. Forgiveness starts in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve had a garden that was beyond description. There's never been a garden as great as that garden. There's never been a place that was a paradise like that place was a paradise. Even God would come down in the cool of the day and walk through the garden with Adam and Eve in tow and enjoy the fellowship together. But they sinned. They sinned grievously. They sinned darkly. But did God forsake them? God came looking for them. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? And they gave their excuse. We realized we were naked and we were ashamed and we hid ourselves. And God set the task to work a form or a plan of forgiveness. And God forgave them right there in that garden. A God of forgiveness. A God of forgiveness. It starts in the garden. Now, I may warn you that sin has consequence even when you're forgiven. Sin has consequence even when you are forgiven. Adam and Eve had a perfect life in a perfect place with a perfect family. Everything was perfect. But because they sinned, their elder son committed murder and killed their second son and brought heartbreak and shame into the garden. Heartbreak and shame into their life. They were forgiven, but the consequence of sin was still there. So many times people come to Christ and they find forgiveness and the Lord forgives them, and because they still experience some of the consequence, they forget that God has forgiven them. Let me tell you very clearly, you may remember some things happen in your life. You may remember some sin, some departure, something out of your life like it should be. You may remember that, and it may still pain you, but that doesn't mean God hasn't forgiven you. If God forgives you, you may have consequence, but I promise you, God's forgiveness is irrevocable. God doesn't revoke His forgiveness. I said God doesn't revoke His forgiveness. You continue in your love to Him and your love for Him, and remember that God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. What a picture that is. What a picture that is. So often we have people who get forgiveness, but somebody in the church don't forgive them. That's a sad thing, but that happens. Someone sins and they do something they shouldn't do, and they come back and they seek forgiveness. And somebody in the church family will say, well, I'm just not going to believe it until I see the result of it. No, no, that's not what we do. We forgive them and let them prove otherwise while we just keep on loving and sharing and carrying the burden for them. Amen? Forgiveness is a powerful word. Forgiveness is a powerful word. I love the very thought of it. You see, the longer you live in this world, the longer you live, the more you need to remember forgiveness. As a Christian, when you've been saved a while, you tend to get a little bit self-righteous if you don't be careful. And you begin to look at other people and you begin to criticize because they don't come up to your standard. Because they don't come up to where you are. We must learn that's not how we to live. We are not to be critical. We are not to hold grudges. We are not to remind people among us who are growing, who may be young in the Lord. If God has forgiven them, they are forgiven. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Or would you say amen? The prodigal son departed the father's house. The father gave him his share of the retirement, his share of the inheritance. He left there with everything that he was to ever get. He left there with every blessing that was planned for him at the very end of his life, and squandered every bit of it. Squandered every bit of it. But when he came home, the father forgave him. I said the father forgave him. The father forgave him. The father literally forgave him and gave him back the evidence of his new inheritance. Hallelujah. I mean, that's a father. That's a father. You know, it's easy for us. We get so bothered when people have done something they shouldn't do. And I know I'm guilty just like everybody else. Some days ago, I had something in my heart that I was going to do that had to do with forgiveness. And God dealt with me. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, when I got through praying, it was taken care of, Brother David. And I knew he'd forgiven me and I'd forgiven them. If they never ask forgiveness, I have forgiven them. I wonder how many this morning, could we stop a minute? How many of you who've had things happen and hurtful and things that injure us and things that you see that are so, they shouldn't be there, but you're willing to forgive in advance and let God take care of the rest. Would you raise your hand? Are you willing to forgive in advance? Hold that hand up there and think of anything, anywhere. If you can't raise your hand now, I'm going to remember to pray for you, because we've got to forgive. I said we've got to forgive. Hallelujah. If you didn't raise your hand a while ago, why don't you raise it now? And let's make sure we get everybody forgiven, everybody that's ever, ever harmed you in any form or fashion. It's over. I said it's over. Hallelujah. I said it's over. It's over. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Now, let me take you somewhere in the Bible. It's so important that you remember this. If you are going to get forgiveness, you've got to be forgiven. How many of you knew that if you come to God and you don't forgive, that you can't get forgiveness? Does anybody here know that? If you come to God and you need forgiveness, but you're not willing to forgive, what happens in your life? Let's go to Matthew, would you? The book of Matthew, very powerful verse, chapter 18 and verse 24. Matthew 18, verse 24. What a verse, or what a passage, I should say. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Wow. Now that's a picture. We're talking about a large debt. We're talking about an incredible debt. 10,000 talents. And because he had nothing to pay, the man to whom he owed forgave him the whole debt. Every bit of it. But then, this man forgiven of 10,000 talents, it goes on to talk about him. And here's what it says. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorrow and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. Now, sir, now, church, I want to tell you something. That's one of the greatest stories Jesus ever told. That man who got forgiveness owed 10,000 talents. He had a servant that only owed him 100 pence. I mean, that was a pence compared to talents. And when he came to his servant, he had him put in prison and tormented. And the master found out about it. Now, that's what the Lord said he deals with us. You've been forgiven. How many here know you've been forgiven? You've been forgiven. God has forgiven you. Raise your hand and tell him, thank you, Lord, for giving Joe Chambers my debt. You have forgiven me everything I owed you. You've forgiven me every sin I've ever committed. You've cleansed me from everything in my life that was out, that was wrong. And now, Lord, I must forgive everybody that comes to me. Amen. Oh, you talk about a transformation in God's house. You talk about a change among God's saints. You talk about a change with mommies and daddies and sons and daughters. If we would remember that story and if we would be quick to forgive, what a message. What a message of forgiveness for you and I this morning. Church, I want to tell you, this is a generation of wickedness. Everywhere you look, there's sin. Almost everybody, if you're in the business world, like Brother Mark and some of you, I promise you, it's not going to be easy to collect. School business is a tough job for a Christian school to collect. My wife is one of the better ones with it. But I'm telling you, we live in a day when people can treat their debt as though they don't even owe it. They can treat their responsibility as though it's nothing. God help us to be responsible. And God help us to be forgiven. And God help us to seek the mind and the will of God in all of our life. You must forgive. Now, let's go a little further. The book of Mark, Jesus says something that's so powerful. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Ooh. Would somebody help me? If you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. You can pray often, and you can pray with great tears, and you can pray with great humility. But if you cannot forgive those that have offended you and hurt you and broken your heart, then you cannot be forgiven yourself. Right now, this morning, I commit to God that I shall never hold one thing against nobody. I shall never carry the grudge and the feelings and the emotions of wounds that I've borne. And I've had many, and I confess it to you, but I forgive them. I forgive them. I've been praying all week, Lord, I forgive them. Somebody raise a hand and join me, will you? Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. We must forgive others. If you want forgiveness, you must be sorry for the dirt in your life. Very important. You see, forgiveness is not something cheap. Forgiveness comes to every man or woman who comes with remorse, who comes with sorrow, who comes and say, Lord, I'm ashamed. I don't know about you, but when I remember things that have been done in my life that should not have been done, I feel shame. I feel hurt. I feel pain. I feel pain. And when I come to Him with that pain, He forgives me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have anything in your life that shouldn't be there, ask God to fill you with remorse. Ask God to help you feel sorry for your own sin, for what's in your life that should not be there. Hallelujah. Now, those things are important. And I want to make sure you understand them. But I want you to understand this morning that we serve a God that wants to forgive. Let's go to a story in the Bible that is the most beautiful picture of forgiveness that one can find. The book of John. I love the book of John. It's a picture of the Lord in His wonderful grace. The book of John, chapter 8 and verse 4. Let's begin and look at a story that will affect your life. Listen to me now. John 8 and 4. They say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. There's nothing more wicked than immorality. There's nothing more wicked than immorality. There's nothing more wicked than men and women being unfaithful to husbands and wives. There's nothing more wicked than this generation where people live together without marriage and feel no pain. I am amazed at the multitude of couples that live together having children and they pay no attention to the immorality of their daily walk and their daily life. Well, this story is the story of how Jesus treated that. This woman was guilty of adultery. They caught her in the act. Maybe behind a garbage bin in an alleyway somewhere. She was selling her virtue to some man, some whoremonger. And she was involved in the act of adultery. And they caught her, and they brought her to Jesus. Now, they say to Jesus, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and began to write with His finger on the ground, as though He heard them not. What a picture. There is the Son of God. Just get the picture. Here sits over here beside Him, maybe standing, maybe sitting, a woman. You could look at her and see adultery all over her face. You could look at her dress and see adultery in her dress. You could look at everything about her. The wrinkles on her face and the wrinkles in her very being were so evident. She was an adulteress. She was a fornicator. She was a harlot. She was selling her flesh to the cheap, to the highest price. But Jesus stooped down and began to write in the ground as though he heard them not. He was not unconscious of her. He was not unconscious of her need. He was not unconscious of the burden that that woman bore. He was not unconscious of what she was dealing with. Not at all. Not at all. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that hath, that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Now, among that crowd was Pharisees and church members and choir singers and assistant pastors and maybe pastors. And I mean, the cream of the crop was there, probably. And Jesus said, "Those among you, that one among you, without sin, let him first stand up and take that big stone in your hand." They was ready. I guarantee you that crowd had the stones in their hands and a pile at their feet. They were ready to stone that woman into death. But Jesus said, "That one among us who has no sin, let him first cast the stone at her." And Jesus stooped back down and began to write. In a few moments, he looked up again, and nobody was there. Everybody was gone. See, when you deal with sin, you better deal with past, present, and future. You got to deal with the fact that all of us were shapen in sin and born in iniquity. All of us have been grievously inadequate before God. How many of you know you did not deserve to be saved? Could I see your hand? How many know that if you'd have got what you deserved and what your life had earned for you, you'd be in hell this morning? I don't know about you, but I can tell you that I was grievous a sinner. I'm telling you that I was a thief, and I was a liar, and I had a foul mouth. I cussed a blue streak. I had been raised and trained among those people that Daddy hired on the farm, and they taught me their way of sin and their way of wickedness, and I fit the bill perfectly. Just a 16-year-old lad, but full of sin. Full of sin. Oh, God, do you understand how I would have felt if I'd have been standing there in that crowd? Do you understand how you would have felt if you'd have been standing there in that crowd? What if you'd been one of those who held a big stone ready to cast it? And suddenly, Jesus, see, was the Son of God. And when He spoke to them, conviction covered them like a blanket. In a moment's time, they could see their sins and their wickedness. You see, that's what we used to see in the churches everywhere. I remember those years ago, people would come to church. If they were a sinner, they would sit and grip the back of the pew. They were so convicted and they were so smitten with their sin. Oh, that God would do that again among us. Oh, that God would send that conviction upon the city of Charlotte. Hallelujah. I'm praying for that. I see some evidence of it. I see some evidence of it. Brother Eddie, I really believe that God is moving and preparing for conviction that will touch this city to the core. Well, I want people who hear this sermon to know that sin is dark and sin is grievous and sin is hurtful and sin is ugly. Sin is miserable. What sin will do to you, it'll strip your life. It'll take everything beautiful out of you. It'll take the smile out of your face. It'll take the charm out of your voice. It'll take the beauty out of your countenance. But there's a God up in heaven who loves you and loves me and sent His Son to die on Calvary's tree. Hallelujah. And He forgives. And Jesus stooped down and this woman sits there. And I can guarantee you, Brother Mark, she was trembling. She was trembling. She could just feel those stones crashing upon her, knowing that she's not going to live to finish the war that they're having with her. That it's going to completely drive the life out of her. And she's trembling. But suddenly, everybody's gone. And Jesus said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" And she said, Lord, I have none. I have none. What did Jesus say? Now I want to tell you something. Don't you take this and make some theology out of this that's not correct. I want you to know she had remorse. I want you to know there was repentance in her heart. I didn't see it, and there's not a word that describe it, but I know the Bible, I know the Word of God, and the Bible said there has to be remorse, and there has to be sorrow, or there cannot be forgiveness, and I can tell you, she had it, and Jesus said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Now, we're not talking about a good mother. We're not talking about some well-heeled person. We're not talking about somebody who was a pillar of the community. Somebody that was righteous in their lifestyle. We're talking about a wicked woman, an adulteress, a harlot. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, church, I want to tell you something. We serve a God full of forgiveness. We serve a Savior who is a forgiving Savior. He loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your life. But let's don't stop there. I want to take you a little bit further. I don't have time to go find all the verses, but you know Brother Chambers preaches the Word and nothing but the Word. Not only does He forgive, but He imputes His righteousness to the person forgiven. Now, look at me. Do you know what I mean by that statement? He imputes His righteousness to the forgiven. That means He declares them innocent as though they have never sinned. And He ascribes and imputes His righteousness to them. So that they stand before God as a daughter or a son of the Savior. They have been imputed with His righteousness. Now you gotta listen to me carefully. Sometimes in this generation, all we preach about is forgiveness. And we tell people they can be forgiven. We tell them of His forgiving grace and His forgiving love. We tell them of how He imputes, how He forgives them. But we forget to tell them when He forgives them, He imputes a righteousness to them. You see, there's so little of this today. You watch people who get converted and they don't change how they live. You watch people who get converted and they're no different the next week or the next month than they were the previous week or the previous month. They go to church, they've been forgiven, they believe, or at least they claim, but there's no imputation of righteousness that puts them in such standing with God that they are to the world as though they have never sinned. Wow. He imputes His righteousness to them. And here stands the sinner, and that woman was a good example. What did He say to her, Brother Jim? He says, go and sin no more. Oh, Brother Chambers, how do you know she was changed because of what He said? Go and sin no more. How could she go and sin no more? But Jesus had imputed a new nature to her. He had put a new capacity in her. He had put a transformation in her life. And she is now a new creature. And He could say, go and sin no more. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when I was saved, I couldn't even say a questionable word, much less take the Lord's name in vain. I couldn't say it. I said the word D-A-M-N one time after I was saved. And I was so brokenhearted and I was so grieved that I cried out to God, please forgive me. I didn't mean to say that word, Lord. I'm a 16-year-old lad. I don't know a verse in that Bible. I know nothing about living right. I know nothing about the walk with God. I knew nothing about this word imputation of righteousness. All I can tell you is I was so brand new that I couldn't even say a questionable word without a repentant heart. Hallelujah. Could I declare to you this morning, church, He is a Savior that cares about you. He is a Savior that loves you. His grace is real. His mercy is real. His compassion is real. Hallelujah. And He forgives sin. He forgives wickedness. But He don't just forgive you, but He imputes righteousness to you. Oh, Brother Chambers, now I've been forgiven, but I've never had righteousness imputed. No, they come together. It's one experience. Forgiveness and a new standard placed in your heart. Oh, you see, we live in a generation that people run from any kind of godly living. They run from any kind of special life. They run from anything that's pure and holy. They run from it with all their heart. But you listen to me. We serve a God that imputes righteousness to her. And I know, Miss Harry, my time is given out. But I want to go a little farther. Will you listen to me? I want to go a little farther. He doesn't just impute righteousness to you. He imparts His divine nature to you. Hallelujah. Somebody lift a hand up here and tell Him you love Him. Will you? You tell Him you love Him. You tell Him, I belong to You, Lord. I belong to You, Redeemer. I belong to You, Savior. And I receive right now Your forgiveness. Can you say, yes, I receive His forgiveness? Would you stand with me if you can? In the name of the Lord, forgiveness. The nature of God. The message of the Bible. You stand right there and listen. You study that Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you're going to find one thing that lives in every page of that Bible, and that's His forgiveness. I got an email yesterday that said, Reverend Chambers, you don't preach enough about love, and you don't preach enough about grace, and you don't preach enough about beautiful things. You talk too much about judgment. Well, that person hasn't been reading what I've been writing. And they have been listening to the sermons I've been preaching. Because I know better. I want to tell you something. There is a balance. There is a judgment coming. But there's a forgiving God. Right in the midst of that judgment. I said it yesterday. Is a throne that God sits on. With a rainbow around the throne. Do you know what that rainbow represents? Mercy. And forgiveness. Hallelujah. He forgives. And then He imputes. And then as you grow in the Lord, He imparts. We live in a day when too few Christians are growing up in the Lord. They get saved and they kind of sit down and kind of, you know, take it all cheaply. And they don't grow. I'm calling you this morning to understand that Jesus saves and He forgives. And there's nobody in this building that He will not forgive you right now. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Don't let nothing disturb us right now. Please listen to me. Very important. Very important. He forgives. He forgives. He don't just forgive, but He transforms. He makes a new creature out of you. He changes everything about you. He makes a new person out of your life. He loves you. He cares about you. Listen. We are Christians. But I guarantee you, I don't think it's possible to have a congregation of people that somebody in that congregation that you have not let something happen in your life and you can't seem to forgive it. Now listen to me. Play it softly, Brother Jim. Listen to me. If you have done something, if you've had an experience, if you've had a feeling, if you've had resentment, if you've had hurt, I don't care what you felt. I do care, but I'm telling you that whatever it is, He wants to forgive you. And He wants you to forgive yourself the moment He forgives you. Some people get saved and they can't forgive themselves. Whatever you did in sin, when He forgives you, it is over. Do you hear me? It is over. And as a saint of God, whatever you do in your walk with Christ that condemns you, and you know you need to repent, repent and then accept His forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Raise your hand up. If you think of something that's on your heart and you're hurt by it, something that happened in your life, some emotion you've had, right now, confess it. Confess it. Confess it. Now he says he will forgive you and cleanse you. Now accept it. Forgiven and cleansed. Forgiven and cleansed. Would you say it with me? Forgiven. Everybody, would you say it? Forgiven. Cleansed. Say it again. Forgiven. Cleansed. Hallelujah. Some of you are dealing with something right now. Let's take a moment. I don't mind. I don't mind. Hallelujah. When you ask Him to forgive you, don't you ever bring it up again to Him. Don't you ever run to Him again and say, oh God, I did that and it still hurts me. You just remember He has forgiven you and it's over. I said, it's over. It's over. Sing. Hallelujah.
He forgives and forgives. He forgives and forgives.
Hallelujah.
But our Jesus forgives and forgives.
He forgives.
He forgives and forgives.
He forgives.
He forgives and forgives. Not as mortals forgive one another.
Hallelujah.
Our Jesus forgives and forgives.
How many of you believe that? He forgives and He forgets. Not as mortals forgive one another. He forgives and He forgets. My record's clean. Can you say my record's clean? I'm forgiven. Can you say that with me? Everybody lift a hand up. Let's count it down. I want you to leave here with peace in your heart. I want you to leave here with a new imputation of righteousness in your life. I want you to be a brand new creature this morning. I want a new victory in this church. I want a new victory in your life. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Say it with me, would you? I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you don't have the need of this. I have the need of this. We all have the need of remembering that He forgives. And He forgets. He cast it behind His back as far as the east is from the west. Did you hear me? He cast your sins behind His back as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the sea of God's forgetfulness. I think that's a song. Is that a scripture or just a song? It's a song. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. Hallelujah. Now I want us to worship. Lead us in worship, Brother Jim. I want you to throw your hand up and thank Him that you're forgiven. I'm a child of the King. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. Of the King, His royal blood,
His royal blood
now flows through my veins.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
And I,
wretched in mind,
Lord, now
praise God. I'm a child. Now raise your hands and sing it. I'm a child.
Oh, yes.
I'm a child
of the King.
His royal blood
now flows through my veins.
Hallelujah.
And I
who was wretched
and blind,
praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I'm waiting for you to rejoice with me. Would you raise your hands and rejoice? I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood. Now flows in my mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wretched. Now praise God. Praise God. I'm a child. Thank you for the music now. Sing again in a minute. Tonight, everybody listen. Tonight, Brother Lloyd.